If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light of the One Supreme Spirit. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is, what is grace? And how do we recognize it operating in our daily lives? So if you're ready, take a deep breath and call forward the grace of your divine presence and let it occupy your total biosphere. Take another deep breath and expand your energetic presence without limit. Be in the spaciousness of the omnipresent being that you are and remain eternally. Birthless, deathless, beyond all effect within time and space. All effects are but beliefs held in the mind that in truth have only the importance we've given to them. So why not set yourself free this evening through grace? Why not bestow the grace of simply being yourself? You have every right to do that, and you are the only one that can do that. No one can set you free but you, because nothing but your own mind has confined you in limitation. Your mind and the interpretations you've accorded things is the only meaning that anything has for you. So we've all probably heard the song and maybe even sung Amazing Grace. But for most people, it just stays as a nice song. Or they equate it with adopting some belief system. But they haven't really realized what grace is. Grace is that which will set everything right. Everything that the mind has tried to reverse, which is the only meaning of evil, will be set right by grace, which is the very bestowal of self-realization, of realization of truth. But there are also incidental benefits that come as a result of grace, like a happy, contented life here and now, and a cool and courageous temper established in unruffled equanimity. That would be another manifestation of the nature of grace, in that it fulfills a variety of wants. But the divine grace is much as a shower of rain or as the sunlight. You have to do some spiritual practice to acquire it. For example, the practice of keeping a pot upright to receive the rain, or the practice of opening the door of your heart so that the sun may illumine it. So there's always the effort of the self that has dreamt itself as separate and deprived. We have to relinquish that limited, completely erroneous, and ignorant point of view and simply accept the truth that we are indistinguishable from God. Indistinguishable, like wetness in water, like a breeze in the air, like sweetness in honey. You are indistinguishable from God. You always have been, you always will be, and not a single thing you've ever dreamt you've done here in time-space has ever touched that part of you. Only the mind believes in karma. Only the mind believes in reincarnation. Only the mind believes in differentiation and sickness and despair and death and doom and gloom and evil and all of those mental moods that arise like dark clouds before the face of our ever-shining, brilliant divinity. So when we live a good life, but you get the drift here. When we live a, quote, good life, let's say a life that's in harmonious kinship with that which is, grace follows automatically. Just like the divine energy flows naturally to those who love and serve others. But at some point, you realize that there are no others. There's only the self. Who are the others? And who is the need? Who has the need to be served? But you see, that comes in the act of serving the, quote, others. Because that is the effort that begins to move you into the flow of grace, which ultimately reveals that you are indistinguishable from God. And with that realization, the whole parade of temporary goings and comings and acting and reacting, all of that dissolves like mist before the sun. You don't have to do much, but begin to question the limitations and the definitions that you've used to imprison yourself in anything less than divine bliss. Begin to question, what are these thoughts? From whence do they come? Who is thinking these thoughts? And the one who asks these questions is the one that is the Sakshi, the divine witnessing presence. That is the self that you are. So begin to get back from yourself. I often say, stay in the balcony and just look at the performance of your little ego personality on the stage of time-space. Watch it from afar. But don't identify with a character. And you know how hard that is. It's like sitting in a motion picture and not getting sucked into the drama. Invariably, when the monster comes on the scene, or whatever it is, we will close our eyes or duck down in our seat or in some way react. And we'll start weeping when it's one of those tearjerkers. And that's the same thing that we do with our ego persona in time-space. We get sucked into the dialogue, the drama, the interaction, and we forget who we are. So practice when you go to the movie. Start with that, or when you're watching your television programs. Start with that. Train yourself to back off and remember that you are the witness. In those little daily things, we can begin to come into alignment with truth. And the very effort that you would make to do that is grace. You would not have that interest to listen to this seminar if it were not for grace. You would have no interest in what I'm talking about right now if it were not for grace. So you might look at it that it's your time to be a ripened fruit on the tree of life. because a ripened fruit is going to fall into the mouth of the divine, to use a metaphor here, whether it wants to or not. And that divine that you are, that soul, that spirit that is working through the limitations of a mental body, an emotional body, and a physical body, and a nervous system, and a brain, trying to get the message through to its vehicles in time-space, it's time to drop the act. It's time to wake up. It's time to get over your limited self. Hello? Anyone home? And the voice gets louder and louder until finally it gets your attention. And that is grace. So, Satya Sai Baba has this to say about grace. Above all, try to win grace by reforming your habits, reducing your desires, and refining your higher nature. One step makes the next one easier. That is the excellence of the spiritual journey. Each step, your strength and confidence increase, and you get bigger and bigger installments of grace. When you have done your best, and that is found not enough, then call on me. I am ever ready to reinforce your exertions with my grace. Of course, that would be the belief system that there's someone outside of yourself that can help you, which is useful for a period of time, but you got to drop that too at some point. You've got to come to the realization that only you exist in and as every person on the planet. You but see yourself. There are no others at all. There was one divine son or extension of the love of God that came into the flesh, and that is you and me and everyone. We are the incarnation of the one love, the one divine Christos or Christ Spirit or Son. We've made all these religious fantasies about all of this. They made it so complicated that people don't want anything to do with it anymore. It's become a turnoff. And so that's why we speak very strongly, because we who are speaking are awakening. And as we awaken, we are able to speak more directly. Because until you've awakened to something, you cannot awaken it in another. So to quote Sai Baba again, the grace of God cannot be won through the gymnastics of reason, the contortions of yoga, or the denials of asceticism. Love alone can win it. Love that needs no requital. Love that knows no bargaining. Love that is paid gladly as tribute to the all-loving love that is unwavering. Love alone can overcome obstacles, however many and mighty. The most desirable form of wealth is the grace of God. God will guard you, even as the lids guard the eye. Do not doubt this. Rely on the grace of God. Earn it and keep it. Then whatever the strength of the storm, you can survive it without harm. It is grace. Those who suffer have my grace. Only through suffering will they be persuaded to turn inward and make the inquiry. And without turning inward and making inquiry, they can never escape misery. When a severe pain torments you, the doctor sometimes gives you a morphine injection, and so you do not feel the pain, though it is still there in the body. Grace is like the morphine. The pain is felt. The pain is not felt, though you go through it. Grace takes away the malignity of the karma, which you have to undergo. You may say that the burden of past acts and their inevitable consequences have to be borne. But the grace of the Lord can burn all of that in a flash. Satya Sai Baba. And another thing he has to say about grace, which is very interesting. No more can any faculty of yours hinder your progress. God will orient all your faculties toward the highest goal. The senses, the mind, the subconscious, the unconscious, the intelligence, all. Grace will confer all you need. Only through the grace of the Lord alone can man develop a desire for Advaita, or non-duality of the universe, of the one without a second, which is what we're talking about here. So only through grace will that principle of non-dual beingness appeal to you, Advaita. The highest teaching is God alone is all that is, or the self alone is all that is. When I say self, it means the divine presence, which is your authentic being. So, if I were to ask you, if you were living in a state of grace, what would your response be? Or if I were to ask you to share some of the examples of grace in your life, would that be easy for you or not? Well, fair enough, if you'd suddenly turn the questions back to me for my reply. And now today, I believe I could actually give you an accurate reply. After many years of experiencing ongoing grace in my life, I could say, yes, I am living in a state of grace right now, this moment. And in sharing some examples of grace in my life, I'd have to say that literally everything in my life is grace, including the good, the bad, and the in-between. All of it has been a sign of divine grace. And I can only say that now based upon where I am in my life right now and who and what I am in my life right now. Within my conscience is what I'm talking about. But the inner is also reflected in the outer and my life circumstances. And I'm sure there would be people judging from the external facts of my life that would say something else, perhaps entirely the opposite. But you know, that is because no one can truly see me or you but the Divine Spirit. And therefore, no one can really say whether or not one is living in a state of grace, but oneself. So grace is strictly a personal matter between your conscience and the Divine Spirit and how consciously they have become as one. So let me share some things that probably no one has really mentioned much about grace. And this certainly comes directly from my experience. Grace in my life has meant that God has not given me what my ego has prayed for, has not given me what my separated egocentric self prayed for, ever. I have to laugh sometimes. People come to me and they say, "Oh, I want to find my divine mate. I want my soul mate. I want to find my true love." I say, "Get over it. Give it up. That's a Cinderella fantasy. That's something that you read in the storybooks. Your worst nightmare often comes in response to that prayer." There again, I can also speak from direct experience. When you pray for something out of the senses, out of the sense of lack, out of the sense of the mood-making and the romanticizing of the separated, egocentric, personal self, You're always going to suffer. Why? Because you can't have it here. This is not the kingdom of heaven, unless, of course, you realize God, and then you are the kingdom of heaven come. But if you're living an ordinary, sense-driven, egocentric human life, you're not going to find it in a twin flame, in a soulmate, in anything out here in this world. Get it and save yourself lots and lots of suffering. But maybe it's your karma. Maybe it's your karma to have repeated failures in marriage and relationships, unrequited love, experiencing adultery and heartbreak. I speak from direct experience. So until I woke up and realized there's nothing here in this world for me, and yet there's everything in this world for me, because if you don't realize God here and now, you're going to have to reincarnate again, because it's only here, now, that you can awaken. If you cross over to the other side, you're going to go into the creations of emotional and mental desires, called Devakan. You're going to go there where you get to live out your fantasies in dreamlike episodes until you reincarnate again. Do you want that? You better slay the Buddha on the path then if you don't want that. What does that mean? It means all the things you've put outside of yourself as it, whatever it is. If you projected an otherness outside of yourself, it's going to make you happy, fulfill you. Whatever, whatever, you gotta slay it. You gotta get rid of it. You have to pierce it through with the eye of Buddhi. That divine consciousness, the divine seer has to see through that with the light of discernment and discrimination. Another thing which I found quite interesting, I have spent the last, going on 8 years now, in silence primarily. I speak very seldom. I don't take phone calls. I don't make phone calls. Rarely. Not ever, never, but rarely. I don't have a telephone. And I rarely leave my sanctuary. Rarely. So there can be months in which I don't go out at all. And I'm alone most of the time. So it's interesting because I thought, I would like to go to some of these spiritual groups I used to go to 40 years ago and sing bhajans and be with other devotees and, you know, the drill. But I'm so near and yet so far, I'm simply not allowed to go anywhere. And it was like, but, Sai Baba, these are devotees. I would be in good company. He said, no, you wouldn't. You go right back into some of your old practices. You go right back into being a devotee. You'd fall in step with separation again. Believing God is anywhere but within you, as you. And it was like, wow. Oh, wow. I remember he put me through a cycle very similar when I was living in Seattle in the early 2000s. And I would get in my car to go to bhajans because I was a member of the South Seattle Sai Baba Center. And there would be a flat tire. Or the battery would be dead. Or somebody would call with an emergency just as I was going outside the door. This is like, I forget how many years, maybe 13 years ago. And I didn't put that together as grace at the time. I was just annoyed. Or I thought actually Baba was punishing me that for some infraction. You see, that's how we take it as an ego. We think, oh, God's punishing me. Oh, get over it. What's he going to punish you for? Being lost in illusion? He's not going to punish you. He's going to say, get a life. Wake up. So I was not aware that was grace. I just thought I had done something wrong. So he's not letting me go back into my past at all. All of the warm fuzzies, all of the outsourcing, all of the things that used to give me a buzz, make me feel happy or whatever, whatever. The spiritual things are good things, right? Oh, no, they're not right. At some point, all of that outreaching has to stop. You have to bring it all home to where you live inside yourself. If you can't find God in this breath, in this moment, when are you going to find God? Where else are you going to look? All of the enlightened ones say God is within. God lives in you as you. God lives in you as you. That's my favorite statement from Bhagavan Muktananda, great Siddha yogi. God lives in you as you, warts and all. Yeah, warts and all. Because the warts are always going to be there in the physical. The physical plane is flawed for a reason. Earth life is meant to be aversion therapy. It has one purpose: to make you not ever want to come back here again and to do everything in your power to find out how not to come back here again. It's not meant to be pleasant. If it's pleasant, that's your good karma. And good karma is also a golden chain. If you do bad, you're going to have to reap the effects of your bad doing. If you do good, you're going to have to reap the effects of your good doing. Either way, you're reaping effects, i.e. receiving karmic recompense or repercussions. So, grace did not allow me to get lost in belief systems. I got very involved in wonderful charismatic Christian church while I was in Seattle. Oh, I loved it. I could have stayed there forever. And when I left to go to India, which I was not in any mood to do at the time, 2006, but I knew I was supposed to go, I wasn't in any mood to go because I was very happy doing my little church thing. And when I came back, everything was gone. The pastors had moved, given up the church. It was in new hands. I didn't see that. I read about it because I wasn't allowed to go back to Seattle at all. I ended up here, Los Angeles area. So I was not allowed to go back to that. And you know, I actually cried. I missed not singing in choir. I miss not serving in the prophetic circles. I miss not, you know, feeding the homeless under the bridge. I miss not participating in the altar prayers and everything and so on and so on. I was actually crying for my limitation. It gets the picture. But grace didn't let me settle, didn't let me go back. Grace didn't allow me to become a nun. Actually, I wanted to become a priest when I was very, very young. But thank God grace made it so little girls couldn't become priests. So been there, done that, bought the beanie. Grace did not allow me to live in India, where I'd gone in 2006 to spend the rest of my life. Grace sent me back to the United States. Why? Because I've been there, done that. I've lived in the ashrams. I've been a yogi so many times. My American teacher, John Rogers, said one time, "You've been in India so many incarnations, it's simply amazing." But what do I love? Like, more than anything, oh, India. Anything to do with India or Tibet. So grace has made me an American in his lifetime. Yeah, grace. But grace also called me to India to the feet of the avatar, Satya Sai Baba, who blessed me and assured me at least 4 times in my personal interview that I had his grace, I had his grace, I had his grace, I had his grace. And to never worry that he was always with me. It was a good thing he said that, because when my husband and I returned from that trip to India, we were homeless for 9 months. We couldn't show any income or where we'd been for all these months, and telling people we had lived in an ashram didn't cut it. We didn't have a job. We were both in samadhi. How can you work when you're in samadhi? So we were homeless for 9 months, but never without a wonderful, clean bed in a bedroom and wonderful cooked meals by total strangers. Our family didn't want anything to do with us, but strangers took us in. God only knows why. We were just totally gonzoed in God. But it was grace. And grace finally got us the most wonderful apartment. So grace has fulfilled all of my desires, even little ones, little desires. Baba would like fulfill them, and still to this day fulfills them really quickly, although I can't say that I actually have. I can't think of anything I desire now. I can't think of anything. So it'd be a little simple thing, like maybe some tapioca pudding. And then it appears. Or whatever. Simple stuff. But I'm just saying that grace can show up in all kinds of ways. But when you're marked for liberation in this lifetime, as I am, you're not allowed to backslide into former, outgrown, obsolete, been there, done that patterns. I don't care what they are. If you go after the name and fame and success in the world, grace will see that you self-sabotage, that you fail, that you don't become the famous movie star, that you don't become the great rock star or whatever. Not that those are bad things, but energy follows thought. Thought manifests as form. Form expresses as action, which is karma, which creates reaction, which creates rebirth. And you have to decide where you're going to put the emphasis of your energy. Are you going for God realization in this lifetime, or you want to be a rock star? You can be a rock star, no problem. But chances are you'll lose yourself in who you think you are. Chances are you'll lose yourself unless grace causes you to fall on your face, not become successful, flop at the box office, get turned down and not cast in that role. Is it possible for someone to be a great movie star and God realized? I can't think of a single person that I know that's been God realized, that's been a rock star or a movie star or anything else in the world that glorifies the personal self. I've read an awful lot of biographies of God realized men and women, both East and West. And every single one of them had the grace to be focused on God to the exclusion of everything else. Yeah. It's an uncompromising path if you want the Most High. But you see, you won't even have that desire if you don't have the grace. If you don't have the grace, this will not come up on your radar as of any significance whatsoever. So I'm just saying that energy follows thought. Thought always manifests as a form. Form always has an action, and the action always has a repercussion. The repercussion always has to be fulfilled, whether it's a good one or a negative one. All of the chickens come home to roost in your chicken coop, which is your life. So your condition in your life is due to your previous actions and choices, your karma. And grace is what enables you to endure and get through it unscathed. And when you live a life that you have consecrated to God, whatever your station in life may be, grace turns your troubles into tapas. And tapas are spiritual efforts towards, that count towards liberation. So grace gives you a sort of divine indifference to the petty trinkets and trash and tinsel and little cures and promotions of earthly life. And there's these things are what we all go through. You see, we're all exactly the same in that we all go through the good times and the bad times and the happy times and the grieving times. We all lose people in death. We all get sick. We all have all sorts of varieties of unpleasant things in life. But grace is what enables you to turn those experiences into stepping stones to God. And then they have value. Otherwise, you're going to bitch and moan and complain and growls. But you're not going to praise God. You're not going to have a heart of gratitude when you're going through your miseries if you don't have grace. So even the faith that we have is through grace. Everything. How many times have you railed and complained because you're stuck in traffic, not realizing that grace kept you from being in a place where there was going to be a deadly accident? Or the times you've missed a flight, as I have, or a train, or whatever. But long ago, I learned that I'm on God's standard time. It has nothing to do with my getting on a plane or anything. If I get on the plane, fine. If I don't, it's because God doesn't want me on that flight for whatever reason, and I'm okay with that. Gosh, I learned that a long time ago. When I'm caught in traffic, I often say to the driver, don't worry about it, we're on God's standard time. Maybe we're not supposed to go where we think we're supposed to go. How do we know? We're not running the show, God is. So I don't worry about stuff like that. I know I'm always where I'm supposed to be at every moment with exactly the person I'm supposed to be with, and that everything is happening exactly as it should happen and needs to happen so that God can get me home to absolute blissed out Satchitananda by the shortest, fastest route for me. And that's true for you too. You're going home by the fastest, shortest, best route for you. So don't make a big deal out of stuff that happens. Give it up. Give it over. Surrender. Let go. Let God. All kind of funky stuff we hear so often we don't care about it anymore. But I'm just letting you know the whole thing's rigged. The whole thing is rigged. Who's rigged it? You have as God to get your many selves home back to you. They're lost in mind dreams and in mind trips. They're lost in emotional hang-ups that they've identified with. You got to bring yourself home to yourself. You got to bring yourself home to yourself. This is God talking. God's got to bring himself home to himself. Now, an awakened human being is a conduit of grace. I'm aware that wherever I walk, people are blessed. I don't care if I have to run into Walmart for whatever, or Costco, or wherever, whatever. Everyone that looks on me, talks to me, interacts with me, or passes through my aura is blessed with grace. I know I'm a conduit of grace. I know that everyone that even thinks of me is blessed. And you need to know that about yourself too, because that's the absolute truth. So we're in original, ongoing innocence, having never left the heart of God except in a flight of fancy. We're living our flight of fancy right now, which is not so fancy. So do you have your own favor towards yourself? You got to have your own benediction upon your own life. You've got God's. God never saw the departure. God never recognized the separation because there's no truth, and God being truth can only recognize truth. This whole worldly trip that we think we're on is our own bad dream. So it's, you know, Grace tiptoes in and says, Sairam, Sairam, wake up, you're having a bad dream. Or sometimes Sairam, Sairam, and turns on the light. But in any case, Grace wakes you up gently to remind you it's all been a bad dream. You don't have to do anything about any of it. It doesn't need fixing. It doesn't need correcting. It doesn't need chastising. It doesn't need hellfire and brimstone. It doesn't even need heaven. It just needs to wake up. It needs to wake up. That's all. Who? You, the conscious self, needs to wake up. So grace shows up also as opportunities. It's grace that enables you to have the company of spiritually advanced souls. If you don't know anyone that you could look to as being an exemplar of spiritual realization, of spiritual truth, you better pray for the grace that would enable you to have that companionship. Because we become like those we hang out with. We tend to adopt their mannerisms, their belief systems, their way of thinking and speaking. My God, I'm grateful that I spend most of my time with myself. Yeah. Because I really enjoy my own company. Probably more than that of anyone else I can think of. Why is that? Because I live in God. I literally live inside God. But there was a time I didn't. I sure know what it feels like outside that. So grace enables you to meet a genuine spiritual teacher or guru or best of all would be to be able to have a direct encounter with the avatar. That's the greatest possible grace you could have. But to have company of the truly great and to seek such company and to abide in such company is as a result of grace. The greatest grace, I would say, is to love God. But you can't even love God without grace. God will just be an abstract option without grace. So to even have faith or desire for liberation or Advaita, non-dualism, to have devotion, to have dedication, to have a live a consecrated life, all of these are signs of great grace. To have a natural inclination to wholesomeness, to kindness, goodness, to loving, to having a loving nature, to love people, to love God. All of this is the result of previous merit, and hence are signs of grace. To have good health, beauty, good environment and circumstances can be signs of your own previous merit and grace. Though sometimes grace gives you just the opposite to awaken you to your own true divine nature beyond the temporary things of this world. It's grace that enables a person being martyred and persecuted for their faith to be martyred with the name of God on their lips and the praise of God. You want to read about that, you can read Fox's Book of Martyrs and read the life stories of men and women who went to, literally, to their glory as they were being martyred. Only grace can enable you to meet such an experience and remember God. So that brings us to the point that grace does not mean a life devoid of hardships, pain, and difficulty. Far from it. But it does mean that one will have the supernatural divine strength to endure all things. A state of grace, in my experience, is also having a squeaky, clean, clear conscience. Conscience, I've often told you, is the presence of the Holy Spirit within your mind. It's the voice for God within your mind. So let's ask each other that question. Do you have a squeaky, clean, clear conscience? That means no guilt, shame, blame, hatred, unforgiveness, grievances, no withheld loving toward anyone or anything. And that means yourself as well as others. Tall order, you might say, and it is. But how valuable is it is to you to have that deep inner peace, happiness, and well-being, and liberation? How much worth is that to you? Well, without grace, it's not going to happen, okay? You can prepare the instrument, but grace is what enables the instrument to be filled with the divine realization. So when you have grace in your life, you have the most valuable possession, the most fabulous wealth imaginable. You have the greatest divine boon and good fortune possible. Am I catching the picture? Yeah, grace does little things like pay your rent. I remember one time my husband and I, in our desire to help my mother who needed help paying her rent, we you know, out of the spontaneous uprising of the divine within us, we simply paid her rent, and then we realized, oh my gosh, we don't have the money to pay our rent. And when we went to check on our bank balance, someone had deposited exactly the amount of our rent in our checking account. Well, of course, we knew it was Sai Baba. Sai Baba. And we called the bank. We said, when was this deposit made and who made it and, you know. And they couldn't say that it was Grace that paid her rent. Oh, we've had so many. I've had so many experiences in my family. Grace saved me when I was a little baby and was given up to die when I had eaten paint and I had lead poisoning. There was no hope for me, the doctor said, but Grace saved my life. When our house caught fire and burned down when I was 6 weeks old, and my father wrapped me in the bedding and threw me out a two-story window to my mother, who was standing on a rooftop two stories below, and I lived. That was Grace. When I was even conceived and carried full term, when it was said that my mother could never bear a child, her uterus was backwards and covered, the cervix was covered with a tumor, and I was conceived and born. Grace made that possible. Grace saved me when I nearly fell, working as an aerialist in the circus, 100 feet above a concrete floor. And in those days, you didn't have nets. You didn't have any safety devices. And I was a little too sure of myself, and I reached for the handhold and missed it and fell forward. I was sitting on a small half-moon, aluminum half-moon moon, and had a very, you know, thin little place I was sitting on. And as I pitched forward, the moon, you know, began to rock back and forth. There really wasn't much to hold on to. But Grace saved me. Grace saved me when Grace gave me a vision that there was a rope that was going to fray as they were pulling me up to my aerial rigging. And I told them to be careful, to watch the rope. And sure enough, as they were lifting, the rope frayed, and I was brought down before it completely broke. Many, many times in the circus, I've been saved by Grace. Sometimes I'm given a dream, sometimes a vision, sometimes a direct knowing. But throughout my life, I've depended upon that. That's grace, to hear God's voice very clearly. You can only hear God's voice clearly if you have a clean conscience. When you're too full of yourself and your own self-indictment, you're on railing against your case, you know, blaming yourself for this or feeling shame or guilt or remorse or whatever, you got to get over that because you can't hear the voice of grace when you got all that stuff running. What do? You take a deep breath. I release this sense of guilt to you, Lord. Please heal me of the illusion that I've done anything wrong. Heal that place deep inside that feels remorse for having bought into the illusion that I did this or that. I forgive myself for judging myself, for feeling like I deserve to be punished for this thing that I did. You know, when you really have a sincere heart, as I know you do, those of you who listen have very pure, sincere hearts. You really, really want to realize God. And because of that, you really, really will. Again, you have the good grace to listen to these seminars each week. Grace makes you have the interest. Grace makes you have the interest to do those things that would help you to move closer to divine realization. So grace is like a great anesthetic that you don't make much of a deal over what happens to your body. Bodies are going to wear out like a outworn suit of clothes at some point. We're all going to depart this world. We've all departed it a bazillion times before, and here we are again. So let's depart it this time and not come back. There's more. There's much greater things to be doing with our time than being in the Alcatraz of the universe here. The reform school, whatever you want to call it. So grace is experienced as an inner lightness of being without the burden of self-indictment. No burden of shame, regret, self-loathing, guilt. You're at peace with yourself, within and without. And you're without fear or concern about the future or regret of the past. You're worry-free, and you experience an increasing sense of fearlessness. Some have grace but are not aware of it due to present or past karmas. But it's grace that can make one aware and thus lessen the impact and importance of past karma. So do you experience that lightness of being? Do you have a clear, carefree heart? Are you like a crystal clear bell ringing forth the praises of God with every cell of your being? Do you ring and sing with the glory of the divine sound current, that your whole life is a living pan of praise, a symphony, a hallelujah chorus? And if not, why not? The whole human body is meant to consciously know and sing and speak the praises of God. Our whole instrument is to be used as a divine flute to which the holy breath breathes sublime melodies. So grace can be that calamity, that disaster, that disease, that earthquake, that loss, whatever, that finally gets your attention and turns your life Godward and toward liberation. People who have pleasant, abundant, and successful, materially well cushioned lives, which is the result of good karma, seldom are motivated to pursue spiritual liberation. There are exceptions, of course. The Prince Siddhartha being one we all know of, the prince who gave it all up and walking away empty-handed eventually became the enlightened one we call Gautama Buddha. So you see, his good karma made him a prince with everything, but grace sent him beyond the prison walls of palatial splendor and into the rigors of spiritual sadhana and ascetic practices that eventually made him the Buddha, and gifted all generations to come with the ways to end suffering and to experience nirvana. So this lifetime for most of us has held a lot of trauma, emotional heartache, financial and relationship challenges, health challenges, warfare, uncertainty, and many demands and stress. So, nearly everyone on a conscious spiritual path is passing through one of the initiations of a major degree at this time. And not a few of you are becoming enlightened and liberated in this lifetime. And that means you've agreed to finish it all up, tying up all the loose ends and dealing with all the round to-its. You know, whatever you said you'd get around to doing someday. Well, today is that someday. So grace shows up as many things, but remember it is always taking you home to total bliss, fulfillment, and freedom by the best and fastest route possible for you. All things work together for your good because you love God and you are called to His great purpose. So, let me ask you in closing, do you have your own grace? Are you bestowing grace upon your own life? Do you approve of and like yourself? Do you find favor in your own eyes? Are you at peace with yourself and with others and with God? If so, you are living in a state of grace. And if not, you better get busy and start forgiving and releasing yourselves and others, including God. So I hope this has been helpful to you. It takes great grace to want to attain liberation and to be able to comprehend and adhere to the path of God realization, non-dualism, and the realization that God alone is all that is, and you are that. Let's go out chanting on IU. Deep breath.